Sukadeva Goswami's statement. Lots. So great, great stuff.
Also glorifies Dhammabhas.
As something that qualifies you for Shudanam. Interesting, says there, even just for musical entertainment. Someone chants for musical entertainment.
Mm-hmm. I like that analogy. Both the difference between having a passport and having a visa. That if you're chanting Namabhas, it's like you have a passport. You can leave the country. But if you want to get to the desired destination, you still need a visa.
Prabhupada's example?
No. No, I heard it from I read it in Vyashoda Maharaj. But I really think it's real nice.
There's a very nice analogy there. So just like the eye, just like the other parts of the body cannot see the eye, similarly, other living entities cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Oh, yeah. It's in chapter 3.
Yamaraj was speaking.
Yamaraj.
So, Sharup.
Well, yeah, let me ask my question. A question, and I have one other thing. The question is, what is Gopakumara's status at the time when he meets the Mathura Brahman? No, excuse me, at the time when he met his guru, not Mathura Brahman, the time he met his guru in Mathura, what was his status? I mean, you know, you sent me once that quote from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I think it was from Raghavatma Chandrika, about, you know, the persons who are still not perfected can take their birth in Braj and they can get association with Nityasiddhas, eternal associates, where they make progress before entering into their, you know, Sroop City, Vastu City. So, what was Gopakumara's status when he met his guru? He was a Mathura. The reason why I asked that question is because he had to go so many places before he went to Goloka. So, has it explained anywhere what his actual status was?
I've not heard. I mean, one would suppose that he wasn't very learned. In fact, he knew nothing. He was a cowherd. But by chanting the mantra, he awakens spontaneous attraction, which must be a carryover from a previous life.
Obviously, especially when you, you know, look at his qualification, his adhikar, you know, that he had for chanting the mantra, what to speak of. Look at all the different positions he took. There must have been some qualification previously. It wasn't just the result of coming in contact with mantra.
Yes. I mean, when he meets Lord Narayan, Lord Narayan greets him, he said, which I don't know if it's in the Sanskrit, but it's in the translation, that he left me long ago. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean he was right there. At least both interpretations can answer that. So if we leave out that he actually was just some kind of special jai-vijai situation where he came already from Goloka, and although just sort of popping back in, although Jana Sharma did the same thing, he just popped back in.
Yeah.
Contrary to what Vishwanath argues at quite at length. And
Yeah, but he met Sarup in Mathura.
They didn't take birth. They're not taking birth.
That's right.
They just, he says you just can't appear in Goloka. Neither did he take birth in Krishna's Leela. He just came from demigod worship to. So if you take him that he, you know, he wasn't some kind of special case from the spiritual world, but he came into the world. He already must have had some kind of attraction for him before, but very unusual because, you know, Krishna says that, what's it, he awakens the devotion of his previous life. About the yogi.
From where?
About sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Purva abhyasena tenaiva ariyate pija. Purva abhyas. So he continues from his previous. To have such strong attraction, but have no knowledge. I mean, it isn't that you don't know the intricacies of, you know, bhakti yoga. You don't know nothing. You don't know the demigods exist. You don't know who the Lord of the universe is. You don't even know who Gopal is, although you've got an attraction for him. It's a very unusual type of attraction because, although it's not dependent on it, but usually attraction builds on knowledge. Not attracted to something you don't know anything about. You don't know who the Lord of the universe is, but you're attracted to. Of course, it's the power of the mantra. So maybe it's just a special blessing that he also received from his guru. May not be even the previous life, but it may be that he just his guru blessed him, and that may happen by just a desire, however well wisher, just a desire of his guru. Spontaneous devotional service automatically awoke in his heart, although knowledge didn't along with it. He had to work for the knowledge and associate for it. So it's really hard, isn't it?
You really need mercy.
But that's the potential blessing. It's almost like you could say he was a, you know, Kripa Siddha of sorts, because he wasn't an ordinary person. He's just chanting this mantra and he's traveling around, and his material body becomes the same as the spiritual body, or vice versa. And he's going around planets and
but to speak
and
of the
that.
Position he got in every place he went.
Yeah, whatever he desired.
Yet took the post of Brahma, took the post of Indra.
Yat tat sankalpa bhuvatsa nija mantra samihitam.
Anyways, okay, I was just wondering if there was any, I don't recall, but if there was any.
I wonder what the commentaries there are, or are there any ever further, aside from Sanatana's own commentary, which is extremely insightful.
I've not seen anything. The other thing was a thought that came to my mind about the topic we've been discussing, which was the how is it that a devotee, while observing somebody else's special status, can still be fully satisfied in his own relationship. That point we were discussing, we gave different examples. But wasn't that to some degree a major theme of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita? That's a thought that came to me today. That was a major theme, how each and every person was so fully satisfied, but they always, their ecstasies were enhanced by the recognition of those who had more mercy than themselves.
Yeah. But that's in the material world. But in Vaikuntha, we were reading that everyone's thinking that I'm the full receptacle of the Lord's mercy.
Yes. Well, it was the same for even for the residents of Dwarka.
In the material world.
Oh.
I don't, but that's sort of, I don't know if the understanding we got, I don't know if we find it, but Sanatana Goswami says that they, when he was talking about the cowherd boys, and that only the gopis think that their service is insufficient, the cowherd boys.
Yeah.
Appreciate others, but are satisfied with theirs. And then he makes mention.
The cowherd boys consider themselves fortunate, whereas the gopis consider themselves to be fortunate, even if they can take the lowest position of service. That was 218, verse 218.
Wow. Each of them thinks one will be fortunate. Yes. The devotees of Narayan and Sri Vaikuntha also never feel that they have had enough of the ecstasy of worshiping the Lord's lotus feet, but every one of them assumes that the all-powerful personality of Godhead is completely merciful to all of them without discrimination. The Golokavasis cannot think like that. Well, you really hit that right on the head. 218.
Yeah.
So much in this book. It's like, you know, you'd end up with a huge book if you were to make a note of all the important points. There's like no end to it.
It's amazing. No, it's totally amazing. Even today, I started reading volume 2. I'm going up. And some of the things that I saw was just, I had to take notes of it.
These intricacies of bhakti. And I guess it's a real difference when someone is Sanatana Goswami, and someone is really that realized that none of the secrets of devotion are hid from them. Just like when you read Sandarbhas, but for me, Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami makes all these far-out statements. And you want to do this, they're just like this. You just want to write all these things down. They're just surreal jewels of bhakti. Really extraordinary. Extraordinary. We are fortunate to be in that line.
Yeah.
Very fortunate. We are the objects of the greatest mercy. I guess the greatest mercy is to be in that parampara.
Not only that, but not only to be in that parampara, but there's one quote. I mean, I'm not there at all. I don't think this way, unfortunately. But still, it's a wonderful quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he describes in the Bhagavat, its philosophy, its ethics, and its theology. He says, "Do the spiritual masters, after they disappear, bestow their mercy upon the living entities? The souls of great thinkers of bygone ages, who now live spiritually, often approach an inquiring soul and assist them."
Who are now live spiritually, say, do what?
The souls of great thinkers of bygone ages, who now live spiritually. In other words, Nityasiddhas.
Right.
Often approach an inquiring soul and assist him in his development.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Which is definitely evidence that we can get assistance if we actually pray. Because you spoke about how fortunate we are to be in this line.
Yeah. When he's in Brahmajyoti, then he sees all these Vaikuntha Judas going all over to the different universes, and Sanatana Goswami says they're going there to just preach and to help the devotees, just to help, to give assistance to practicing devotees.
Where are they?
Because I think I saw it, Prabhupada saying, devotees ask question and just in my always searching folio for things, oh, Prabhupada, if the disciple isn't successful, the guru come back from his next life? And Prabhupada says, yes.
Yes, but don't take advantage of it, yeah. Prabhupada said. Don't make your spiritual master come back.
But B.R. Sridhar Maharaj heard that. He was very surprised. He said he hadn't heard that. He said, well, maybe he meant the principle of Guru, or that Krishna will continue, and then he will send. And what's also not clear is, I think Vishnu Dutas say, and of course Lord Narayan says, he says, I appeared as your guru, and Vishnu Dutas say, you're very fortunate that Jayanta who appeared on the banks of Ganga has become your spiritual master, So Lord, when Lord Narayan says that I had to break, I was waiting, and finally I observed the laws that I myself put in place, but then I transgressed and appeared as your spiritual master. Bas. No, and in a verse, in a commentary, or there's no commentary. So what he meant by I appeared, is he actually Krishna? Or just, as we usually understand, Sakshad Hari?
Mm-hmm.
Who was he? Who was the job to, who's like popping in here and there and appearing and disappearing and just really seems to be doing nothing else other than being absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead.
He never really even gave him any details, did he? Gopa Kumar. He never gave Gopa Kumar
details of who he is?
No. Of the method for chanting the mantra.
Just at the very end. When he came down from Brahma Jyoti, and then before he fell into the Ganga, and that was the last time he met his guru. And you can see the extraordinarily important, well, it's very interesting that here the Diksha Guru, like you say, gives very minimal instruction. It just gives instruction really on the mantra, on how to apply it to the different parts of the body, to do nyas, which is really not essential to the chanting, and to some mudras, but the person who actually really guided him were the persons, were the Vaikuntha Dutas, Nandi, and especially then Nard, Shiksha Gurus, and many Shiksha Gurus, personified Vedas.
Yeah, in Satchaloka, so much detail there.
And then Srimad Bhagavatam, they spoke the Bhakti Puranas, Satvika Puranas. And he learned, interesting that he learned from different things, learned from demigods, and then he even learned from Kumaras, but then later on Vaikuntha Judith had to sort of qualify what the Kumaras, some of the things Kumaras said, about the supremacy of meditation over sensual engagement. Can I have one? I will take this. Thank you. And Diksha Gurus, many. Diksha Guru one, in this case, he didn't really teach him anything about further bhakti science.
You better be careful, because if you hold to that, then you're going to have to retract the email you sent. I won't go into the details.
I think exceptionally, but it's not what Prabhupada says. Generally, the person who gives the most shiksha becomes the Diksha Guru. It's a tradition, that's how it happens.
Especially since ours is a siksha line.
Much but more. If it wasn't for that Diksha Guru, who knows what Gokumar would be? Anymore? We're doing pretty good for the evening.
No, just those were things I was thinking about today while I was reading. I'm telling you, this reading is, for me, it's like it's transformational. Because I'm always so wired when I'm constantly traveling. And I'm just decompressing. I'm going to imagine what happens when I'm.
I don't want to imagine. I want to find out what happens when you do this for a long time. When you do this for a long time.
Yeah.
And I realized that when I finish this book, when I come back, I'm taking off 2 days a week from writing, not just one. I'm taking off 1 day just to. Well, one day I'm going to spend with, see wherever people I need to see, and just, I've been going out for lunches usually those days, and one day I'm just going to read and do nothing, and walk around with my camera and take pictures.
So you're saying these are 2 days a week you're going to take off from writing when you come back?
That's the plan.
Now it's only 1 day?
Sundays. The problem is right now I'm so wiped from swimming that
I've been walking every evening. It's very nice. We go to Jagannath Temple and walk there to a loop. And it's just,
I always have rounds. I leave rounds left for the evening. But when I get up from rest, I just, I'm doing good pacing a little on the terrace. I'm just so sore.
Because you were doing your exercises already in the pool. My exercise is on the walks.
But it's different muscles when we walk down to Naresh and back. I really felt that. It was different. Physically, and getting yourself together, not just physically, but just like that, decompressing, mentally.
You're tempting me to take the year off.
Yeah. Didn't you say you were going to do that?
Not take, no. I said, I got to be careful what I say.
Now everyone's going to be suspicious.
Oh. Uh-oh. It doesn't pause.
It doesn't pause. A machine like that doesn't pause.
Oh, maybe I was pushing the wrong button.
Yeah, there would be so many questions. If we knew then what we know now, but that's not possible to have known then what we know now, even just about this guru issue, if for no other reason than to just clarify it to thick-minded people who make all things of, so many things of what Prabhupada, what they think Prabhupada said.
Yeah.
Who falls from Vaikuntha?
That's another one. Prabhupada said both.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of interesting topics, but our ability, since we weren't that much into studying Prabhupada's books, that scrutinizingly, maturity, it requires purity of heart. As heart becomes purified and consciousness develops and you understand things. Okay, 15 minutes. We're on 97, right?
297. Sri Sarup said, thus the gopis uttered many pitiful laments, which made all who were present cry till their minds were lost. I should go back to the 296. We cannot imagine how much trouble you will have to endure to kill Kansa and his followers, nor how long it will take to wipe out the misery of the people of Mathura. Nor can we be sure you will remember us. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we definitely remember. I remember that, reading that verse in the commentary. Sri Sarup said, thus the gopis uttered many pitiful laments, which made all who were present cry till their minds were lost. Commentary, all living beings reacted in this way to the gopis' complaints. The Supreme Lord somehow steadied himself, wiping the tears from his own eyes and from the eyes of the gopis. He spoke with a voice choked with feeling. The personality of God had said, my enemy Kansa is certainly weak. With no effort, I shall dispose of him. Consider me practically returned to you already. It's far out. My dear friends, please don't create misfortune by crying.
It's interesting, he says Sakya.
Instead of Sakya, Sakhi. My dear companions.
Instead of Sakhi.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know what the plural is. Maybe it's also Sakya.
Sri Sarup said, then everyone hurried to that spot, Nanda and the other cowherds, and Rohini and Yasoda, and all the others, even the animals. And I was also thinking today, I was reading, which is the obvious theme, that Sanatana Goswami is creating in this whole storyline is the the distinctions between the type of separation that Gopakumara was experiencing every place he went. You know, for the periods, each place he went, he was hankering to be with the Lord, and then he lost interest in staying in that place because he realized that he couldn't get the kind of association with the Lord that he was hankering for in each place. But each place is a different type of association that keeps him there for a little while until he realizes this is not what I'm looking for. And then the separation obviously continues right up to Goloka.
Yeah, he comes, and because it's Krishna in one form, so he's satisfied, but relatively soon his heart tells him that it's not the same Lord. But then intelligence tries to use intelligence always and arguments to keep him there. But ultimately he follows his heart. Now that is a very interesting issue. Now there was a conversation long ago, Sridhar Maharaj. This was even when I read it when he was still here, where he says, he's talking, he says, I can't remember the context, but he's saying that ultimately you have to follow your heart, which is usually our understanding is, well, you don't follow your heart, other than back in the material world, you follow your intelligence, Krishna conscience intelligence. But there comes a stage, and with him, that stage was there. His spontaneous attachment was mature enough and strong enough that it was the right thing for him to keep following his heart. Unfortunately, he didn't know that the next place he was going to wasn't the place that he wanted, because he didn't have the intelligence for that, the knowledge.
But there is a repeated theme that Sanatana Goswami brings out, that although he's following his heart, it's in concert with his duty to follow that which was given to him by his spiritual master. He repeats that in many places.
Yes.
That theme.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was not just following his heart, but he was always in concert with
these experiences that he has, which are far out experiences of sadhaka. He's chanting his mantra, Krishna's embracing him, Krishna's kissing him, they're playing together, they're frolicking. These are, it's not even just him, it's the mature Brahman who has experience like that. And even further down the bhakti ladder. And it's just all from the power of the mantra. If the mantra is chanted with faith,
sankalpa.
And if that faith is there, then it's such a powerful thing. So he kept following his heart, and he didn't necessarily know where he was going. He gets this information, we'll just go to the next place. And Vaikuntha, he gets, okay, go to the next place. And then there, you know, see Lord Ramachandra says, keep going. And again, Narada says in Dwarka, just keep going. We don't know where he's going. Just keep walking. know what directions are, because usually we see of these as actually planets. And he's just sort of like, well, I started walking, and where's he walking to? Because they're spiritual planets. And that's a dynamic.
Commentary. Everyone came to where Krishna had been hiding with the gopis, including all the members of Nanda Maharaja's household, his priests, his servants, his maidservants, and the cows, buffaloes, and other village animals.
Hare Krishna. Well, this was a good reading. We read one verse. Which means it was a good reading.
Yeah.
We really trained it.
Yeah. My mind. Yeah. I'm churning. I have to.
2011, Gopi. 61 years old. I'm just looking at the...
Oh, Gopi. Yeah. He was 51 in 2011? Is that what you said?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.